Hi, it's Bob from Royal Spa. Soaking in a hot tub full of Epsom salts is the absolute best way to minimize everyday aches and pains. And we know all about Epsom salts at Royal Spa. Royal Spa hot tubs are the only hot tubs on the market that can safely and effectively use Epsom salts. Made right here in Indiana, Royal Spa hot tubs are the highest quality hot tubs on the market. Visit any one of our three Indianapolis locations or visit royalspa.com.
Ah, Royal Spa.
Excuse me.
Everything's fine. He's just fine. Why do you keep bringing it up? Why? Every time he can't pronounce something, every time he doesn't remember something, why do you keep bringing it up? Because it's daily? Oh, well, that's a fine reason. Tony Katz at 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. Primaries yesterday. Do they matter? It's Trump, Biden. Until, of course, they replace Biden on the ticket. But until then, it is Trump, Biden. I will note, only because it's worth noting, Nikki Haley got 161,000 votes in Ohio. 14% of the vote. Trump got 79.2%. I'm just noticing she got 161,000 votes. I think that's high for somebody who's no longer in the race and hasn't been for over a week. I think it's interesting that Nikki Haley got more votes in Arizona, 108,000, than she got in Illinois, 84,000. More in Arizona than Illinois? I think that's interesting. I have no idea if anybody will be like, okay, this has a connectivity point. I'm just noticing what I'm noticing. What I'm also noticing is that Moreno comes out on top in that race for the Senate position for the Republicans. Some people saying this is, of course, a Trump-backed guy. And some people saying this is a massive mistake. And it's going to be a very heavy lift to take that seat from Democrat Sherrod Brown. I don't have an expertise in Ohio politics to know. There's going to be a lot of studying that takes place over the next couple months. The guy he was really running against is a guy by the name of Matt Dolan, a state senator, who was a critic of Trump, and, well, that can do you in. Moreno got 50.5% of the votes. Keep an eye on that race, because this is more than about, you know, Trump Act. This is about winning the Senate. And have we put ourselves in a place to actually win? Because it's about more than the presidency. Political right should be thinking this way. Sadly, it's very obvious that there are large swaths of the base that don't. They don't think this way in the slightest. They don't. It's like they don't care. It's Trump or nothing, and nothing else matters. Well, many other things matter. An absolute great number of things matter. So with that, there's the latest. The primaries that took place in Ohio, Illinois, Kansas, Arizona, and Florida doesn't really change a thing on the presidential side. Not a thing in any way. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
So, Senator, what responsibility do you think the Biden administration bears for what happened?
So, I think it is absolutely unrealistic to believe that in the face of the unplanned, unanticipated overnight collapse of the Afghan government and the Afghan military, that we were going to be able to withdraw American forces, American personnel, and friends of America in an orderly manner. I weep at the scenes from that withdrawal. I still grieve for the Americans that we lost. But after the Afghan government abandoned post virtually overnight, there was going to be no way for us to conduct that withdrawal in a means that didn't involve some amount of chaos. And
with all due respect, Senator Chris Murphy is just terrible. I weep for the loss because of how we evacuated Afghanistan, how we left Americans and Afghans who had helped us for dead, how 13 soldiers, service members, got killed by a suicide bomber because we're incompetent. I weep. I don't think he weeps that much. I honestly don't think he's doing that much weeping. I think it might all be a ruse. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. These people. Good Lord. They are just absolutely terrible. They're terrible. You can't blame Joe Biden, but you had no problem blaming Donald Trump. Why? If this is just the way it is, if this is just war and war is hell and all that, okay. All right, well then say the words. That's all you got to do. Just say the words. But if we're now going to find that there is blame that can be put out there, well, then let's go already. Just blame your guy. He failed. He failed. He's an absolute failure. That's all. Simple stuff. If it helps, I blame him. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't help. Maybe it doesn't help at all. But if it does, just in case it does, I blame him completely. No, doesn't help. I thought it might make a difference. Okay, fine. We'll move on. It's a remarkable thing, though, to hear the level of defense. Why not say, yes, it was terrible, and yes, there should be an investigation, and yes, some people have to lose their job. Why can't anybody just lose their job? I'm on the political right. You know this. I've come across Republicans who are like, that's a guy who shouldn't have a job anymore. I have come across Republicans where I have said, you know what? That guy should not be here any longer. We should do something about this. Have I or have I not said that Diego Morales, the Secretary of State, there is no way that guy could get reelected? You hire your brother-in-law? Dude, gotta go. That's it. Nothing else to discuss. Nothing else matters. He just has to go. That's all. I didn't think that was a radical position. There are no Democrats who ever have to go? Come now, of course there are. Of course there are some Democrats who have to go. I figured that was just an easy one. Not for these people. But that's not the story of the day. That is not the story of the day, and that just outright madness that's taken place. Now, the story of the day... Well, it might not be the story of the day, but I certainly paid attention to it when I saw it, was the once again more data that shows that COVID came from a lab. It's another day, another example of COVID coming from a lab, which really gets people worked up. They simply can't accept the idea that this is taking place, that this is happening. I don't know why. I mean, it's clearly possible. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to say possible. I'm just going to go, yep. I'm just going to say, definitely. No question. Yes. That is correct, sir. That's what happened. So the latest is that there's a journal called Risk Analysis. And the results from their looking, a greater likelihood of an unnatural than natural origin of the virus. Of course, we've had this conversation numerous times. This idea that COVID magically appeared, magically came from a what they call a wet market. These unregulated and very, very disgusting, and I don't mind something being unregulated, I mind disgusting, marketplaces. Cultural, sure, but still, something can be cultural and completely unhealthy all at the same time. That it just simply jumped to humans from these wet markets, from bats, other things. That's an interesting theory, but in this same town of Wuhan is the Wuhan Virology Lab, where the scientists were working on bat viruses and coronaviruses and working on gain-of-function research, meaning how can these viruses build? Turns out the United States, through the NIH, through Fauci, through a group called EcoHealth Alliance, we're actually funding this kind of gain-of-function research, which is madness. Why would you fund anything in China? Well, you want to keep an eye on what it is they're doing. You know, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer kind of thing. Nah, I don't think these guys were that patriotic. You funded gain-of-function research. You're out of your skull. You funded the Communist Chinese Party. And because they're communists, which means by nature they're incompetent, the only thing they know how to do well is kill people. The only thing communists know how to do well is kill people. Just ask Stalin or Lenin. It's the only thing they're good at. And then the virus leaked, and instead of warning the world, what they did is they said, "Hey, we should tell no one." And that's what they did. They told no one, and they said, "We don't care who dies. We don't care what happens to the people." That is the story and the origins of COVID. And there is no doubt in anyone's rational mind that this came from a lab. Which means, of course, China is to blame, because they are to blame. And we should say so. And then we should charge them, you know, for the damage.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
So admittedly, these 30 days that I'm in, there's a crazy amount of travel. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. The unexpected was the Israel trip, right? Going there, and by the way, all the videos, if you follow WIBC on YouTube or you go to Tony Katz at WIBC.com, you can see all the videos, and there's still more coming. There are things that we haven't even edited yet that I plan on working on this weekend, even though this weekend I'm going to be in Las Vegas. The cigar trade show is going on, and I will be in Las Vegas, and I want you to know I suffer for you. I suffer for you. As I've said, I've got five reservations set. I'm there for three nights. I'm ready. I'm good. And then I'm back for like a week. And then I'm at a conference in Georgia. After that, I don't go anywhere. I don't leave. I actually said, you know, a lot of people go on summer vacations. And I looked at the family and I said, this is not happening. This is, it's radio money. This is not happening. We're not going. But I am, I'm booking a flight right now, which I should have done, admittedly, like 2 months ago. 2 months ago, I thought it was expensive, but I thought maybe the family was coming with me. You know, I thought there'd be a whole bunch of things going on. I don't know how people afford to fly. They tell me that airline travel is up, but good gosh, like I'm going for business reasons. Israel was, don't get me wrong, I wanted to bear witness, but we can argue there was a business reason to go. I wanted to bring things back. You had to be where it was. Vegas, as much fun as can be had, it's a business reason. I do this show, eat, drink, smoke, it's a business reason. Holy mackerel. I don't know how people do this. I'm trying to pick the destination. I'm going to Savannah. And I'm looking at the prices and it's mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. So again, I will say, if anybody has a private plane, private jet, I would think by this time we're friends, and I'd appreciate that. I would appreciate that greatly, because this is nuts. And if you've got hacks, I'm all in. I am all in on the hacks, because nothing I'm doing is working. Which is mostly just screaming, why is it so expensive? And then just gently sobbing to myself. Doesn't seem to be bringing down any prices at all. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
By the way, I booked my ticket. Right there where we were just chatting. Technology is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. So it's been a back and forth about what Texas can do. Texas wants to be able to arrest and deport migrants. Texas is saying that the good people there in the federal government aren't doing their job. They have a responsibility to protect the citizens. They're going to do just that. So they're saying they have the ability to engage in arrests and they have the ability to send people back. This, of course, got blocked by courts until it gets to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court looks at this and says, well, yeah, you can do this. It's okay. You are absolutely capable of doing this. Go right ahead. enter the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, which has said, you know what? Maybe not. And people say to themselves, whoa, 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 and whoa, exactly who is the, who is the Fifth Circuit to decide what it is that can happen here? The Supreme Court said it could happen. The Fifth Circuit doesn't outweigh the Supreme Court, if only because the Supreme Court is actually written to the Constitution, and the Fifth Circuit wasn't even a dream of the Founding Fathers. Well, if we take a look at how these things get argued, the Supreme Court says, we took a look at this case. We think you can do this. Have a nice day. They, of course, want to say the conservative majority. You mean the justices who actually believe in the law? Okay, great. See how I did that? You want to do the word manipulation, guys, all day. All day. I can get as Orwellian as the next guy. Although I admit some of you progressives really good at this. When that happens, when what usually the court says, it'll send it back down to a lower court to, remand it to the lower court to basically have them look at it with our stipulations, with our guidelines. So the Fifth Circuit has said, yeah, we're still going to block this. One could argue because, well, we need to take a look at what the Supreme Court said and really understand how to make this work. But until we have an understanding, you can't go about making arrests and engaging in deportations. The law in Texas makes it a crime for migrants to illegally cross the border and allows Texas officials to deport quote-unquote undocumented individuals. That's how it's written. You mean illegal immigrants. That's right. Not playing the word game. Again. So the case now leads us to a place where we are once again in this kind of limbo with what Texas can do. I believe that immigration is the purview of the president. What I like at what Texas is doing here is that they are once again, just like when they moved these illegal immigrants to New York, Chicago, etc., they're making America aware of the lack of action from the president and from Congress. This is good. In their disagreements, you have both Ketanji Brown Jackson and you have Sonia Sotomayor, both in levels of disagreement with the others, saying that this is going to create further chaos and crisis in immigration enforcement. This is what they state. This law will disrupt sensitive foreign relations, frustrate the protection of individuals fleeing persecution, hamper active federal law enforcement efforts, undermine federal agencies' ability to detect and monitor imminent security threats, and deter non-citizens from reporting abuse or trafficking. None of that seems to me to be a legal reason why Texas can't. That seems to be a political reason why Texas shouldn't. And that is why Sonia Sotomayor and Ketanji Brown Jackson are bad justices, because that's not their job. Do you know how little I care about their personal opinions? You think I care about John Roberts' personal opinions? Kavanaugh's? Gorsuch's? You think, honestly, I like Clarence Thomas. You think I care about his personal opinion? Alito? I don't care at all. What I care is that we have rulings based on what the Constitution actually says and what it doesn't say, not based on feelings. I don't care about Ketanji Brown's feelings at all. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's feelings are for her, not for a dissent. It will disrupt sensitive foreign relations. Prove that. But since you're not responsible for foreign relations, that's not your problem. Do they have the legal right to do it? Yes or no? And everything else, could you just be quiet? That is true for all nine justices. Now, there's a story within the story, which is that Mexico has come out to say, yeah, we're not taking these people. I don't give a damn what Mexico says. Here you go. Here you go. We will land airplanes in empty fields, let people out, and take off. Bye. You won't take them back? When do we start accepting the fact that Mexico is not a friend? Mexico is not a friend. Then again, we have a somebody in office who has no interest in actually doing something about the border. So one could argue that Joe Biden is not a friend either. And now I'm hearing there is talk, and Democrats are, of course, opposed to this because we're not going to loan money to Ukraine. We're just going to give it to them. That this funding for Ukraine might still happen without a dollar going to further help the border. With friends like this, which is to say we don't have friends, we continue to harm ourselves. Texas is trying to do something, and the courts keep saying, but we know better. We'll see what happens with the Fifth Circuit and whether they get a smackdown from the Supreme Court. Right now, Matt Bear has traffic.
Northbound 65 slows from the north split out to Meridian Pit, and northbound 465 still a little bit slow. It's improved from South Shadlet up to Brookville Road and a little bit beyond, but you still have company as you make your way through there. Northbound 37 construction zone, so we're stepping.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Chuck Schumer doesn't understand that sometimes saying you're Jewish doesn't mean that you're right. Oh, we're going to have a fight. It's going to be glorious. Anything Trump says or said does not excuse the despicable comments you made about the Israeli elections, Chuck. But we'll get to that, I promise, because there's an Indianapolis connection. I will get there. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. Carb Day concert announced, and it's George Thorogood and Gin Blossoms. George Thorogood and Gin Blossoms. George Thorogood and Gin Blossoms. Look, I, over the years, have not really had many comments on who they pick for Carb Day for the Indy 500. And I don't want to be the guy here who's bagging on George Thorogood. I think people will have a good time no matter what. But I just assume that these were not the first picks. I just can't. This does not seem to be the kind of bill that gets people saying, my God, if I don't get to Carb Day, I'm going to die, I tell you.
My mind.
That makes me want to get drunk. The Gin Blossoms, by the way, were an Arizona band, Arizona State. That's where I went to school. They had just started taking off when I got there. The moral of the story is I never met them, and I just can't imagine it's a draw. And I would like for Carb Day to be a draw. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Prove me wrong. Knock it out of the park, will you? Just crush. Crush. That's all I can ask for. Good Lord. Then I saw this. That Gannett, indie star, they have said they're going to stop using reports from the Associated Press because of financial pressures for the news industry. McClatchy has said the same thing. First of all, that's a huge hit for the Associated Press. That's a lot of money I would assume that they're going to be losing out on. Now the question is, if Gannett is not utilizing the Associated Press, who are they going to use? They're going to do it all on their own? Wouldn't that be a more costly maneuver? Or is it that they really aren't so much worried about news anyway? You take a look at how thin the Indy Star has gotten over the years. They'll have a couple of opinion pieces. They'll tell Indianapolis why they're all a bunch of racists, and then they'll publish. I mean, the fact that they shared a very good op-ed from Michael Hicks this past week, notwithstanding. I don't know. I don't know now what is news by them. What I know is I think this is an interesting maneuver. And if it puts pressure on the Associated Press, well, then I'm thrilled. Because they're just terrible. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The economic hits just keep on coming. We've discussed credit card debt now at $1.13 trillion. That's where it was last quarter, quarter four, 2023. $1.13 trillion in credit card debt. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. That's a problem. That is a problem. Let's couple it with this. Credit scores are now down for the first time in a decade. And the national average credit score is 717. Oddly, better than I thought it was. But the issue is people aren't keeping up with their payments. They've got too much debt because their money isn't going as far, and they've been using credit cards to deal with the reality, to deal with the inflation. As is noted by in a report from FICO, and they do note that the national average credit score just fell by just a point. From April to July, it was at 718. This is what they write, and I think a worthy conversation. Quote, given that the FICO score is a lagging, not leading economic indicator, this suggests that the effects of high interest rates and persistent inflation may be starting to weigh on consumers, especially those already struggling to manage their finances. Translation? The FICO conversation is telling you what, not what's going to come, but what's already happening. And if it's a lagging indicator and it's only just starting to show up now, one could argue it is already worse out there for quote-unquote average Americans, which is exactly what we think, exactly what we've been discussing. The administration wants to tell you that things are going great. Things are not going great. They're not. This, coupled with $1.13 trillion worth of credit card debt, that is a bad, bad sign, people. Bad sign. I think get ready for a very rough 2024. The popcorn moment. Let's go, let's go, let's go. It's a story you need to hear to believe. Then grab your popcorn because there is more. I have issue with the RNC and this new leadership that has stated quite clearly that getting Trump elected seems to be the only thing they care about, and they're down with paying his legal bills. I want to win elections. All elections. Senate races, House races, mayor's races, governor's races, town council races. I want to put qualified people in office. I want to win. The RNC does not seem to be as interested in that. Maybe they'll change their tune. I thought it was an interesting conversation Congressman Matt Gaetz was having on CNN with Abby Phillip regarding this exact issue.
More than $55 million just on legal bills. That's 85% of its spending. Are you comfortable with that?
No, I wish you weren't being attacked like this. I mean, Trump is up in your
polling.
But
he is. Are you comfortable with his leadership pack using the money that's being raised from ordinary people in a lot of cases to pay his legal bills?
Yeah, it's a necessity. Your network covers ad nauseum that this money is used for this purpose, and yet it continues to be contributed for people who believe that President Trump is under siege. And so I think that we have to view the fusion of the criminal justice system and this presidential campaign as something that we have to combat with every force we have at the RNC and President Trump's campaign and with our own donations. And, you know, it does make me think, like, how much further ahead of Biden would we be if we weren't having to fight not only on the political front, but on the civil front, on the criminal front, and seemingly everywhere else?
One way to avoid that would be to not get into legal trouble, which Trump seems to be doing all the time.
These are novel legal theories that oftentimes are woven together in ways they've never been applied against other people. Look at the Alvin Bragg case that's about to go
to trial. Nobody has ever done what Trump is alleged to have done doesn't mean that he shouldn't be held accountable.
Well, but you see similar conduct not treated the same way.
I want to move on. Just
of course you want to move on. I mean, it was a fine argument from Gaetz. It was a less fine argument from Abby Phillip. I am clear. We could have had DeSantis. You know where I am. You know that if my choices are Biden or Trump, I'm going to vote for Trump. That's going to happen. We could have had DeSantis. I'll leave it there. To say that Trump did things that nobody else did is to avoid what it is that those within the quote-unquote legal system have done that nobody else has done. The weaponizing is a first. I mean, it is. Trump does not call for an insurrection. Let's charge him with insurrection. Trump did not commit a crime in New York. Let's say that he did and get a $464 million judgment against him so we can just take his properties and laugh. Look what we did. Of course, people who don't build take. Makes perfect sense. One should look at these things and say, this is monstrous. Because it is. Now, Gaetz's argument that people are donating to the RNC knowing they're going to pay Trump's legal bills, I'm not 100% sure that is true. I'd have to take a look at the emails asking for donations, soliciting donations that the RNC sends out. But where Gaetz is wrong is that that's not the RNC's job. If Trump wants to solicit donations for his legal bills, you're not hearing any argument from me whatsoever. He can go about doing that. I don't mind that he goes about doing that. And I would assume if I were to take a look, he is doing that. The RNC needs to win elections. Their mission is bigger. And if they are not focused on that mission, then they have absolutely zero value. And what they have not shown me is that they're focused on a bigger mission, which is getting elections won all up and down the line. So I will continue to not donate to the RNC. I will continue my long history, my lifelong history of not giving to the RNC. Don't worry, they will not miss the money that I already have not been giving them. But this isn't valuable. Creating an RNC that is all Trump supporters and then focusing on one election, it's not how you win. It's not. You can donate, give to his legal bills, all you choose. Would never stop you. It's your money. You get to decide what to do with it.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
St. Patrick's Day came and went, and if you, well, knew what was good for you, you got yourself a Shamrock Shake, and you said, behold, the Shamrock Shake, one of God's greatest inventions when the ice cream machine is working. Behold the Shamrock Shake. Glory be unto it. Also, brain freeze, crap. And that's what you did. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. And now the people at Wendy's are bringing you the Orange Dreamsicle Frosty. Well, something, Matt Bear, nothing really.
Woo!
There it is. The Dreamsicle Frosty, as you orange whip, three orange whips. The Dreamsicle is something we can all agree on. I don't know if I could have one every day, but certainly when you have that first sip of Dreamsicle, you're like, it's like orange soda. I don't know if I could have it every day, but that first sip, you're like, childhood. Orange soda equals childhood. It's exactly what it is. I grew up as a sun-kissed man. You might be a Fanta type person. You know, I'm not here to judge. I don't know if there was another one. I don't know if there's another orange soda. Those are the only two I knew of. But it's possible. Moral of the story being, delicious. One. Two, you're just desperate for diabetes. Three, instant coma. But one is always good. The Orange Dreamsicle is coming. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't need anything other than chocolate frosty. Which I would assume is original frosty. Or is the vanilla? That's all I need to make me happy. Frosty, some fries, set, done, finished. But this is good. And you should allow yourself a little bit of sweet treat goodness. You've earned a little bit of sweet treat goodness. Isn't that right, Joe Biden?
I had the dubious distinction of being listed as the poorest man in Congress for 36 years. I got a phone call. My wife was campaigning up. I was campaigning up in New Hampshire back when that statistic came out in the 90s. And she called. I used to call one because the kids were little when I was away. And say, how's everything going? I got this. Fine. But you know you're in trouble when your wife or husband says, fine. I said, what's the matter? She said, only elected officials, husband or wife, could understand this. She said, do you read today's paper? I said, they don't have today's paper, Wilmington paper, Delaware, up in Nevada, up in up in Vermont. And she said, well, let me read it. Top of the fold, headline, Biden, poorest man in Congress. Is that true? I thought, I don't know what the hell is true, but it turned out it was true.
Well, that was informative. I needed a place to play that clip. It just made sense. And by the way, thank you, David, my dear friend from Jersey who listens daily. Orange Crush. Orange Crush was the other orange. Yes, Brandon, I see you. I see you. Thank you so much. Yes, Orange Crush is the other one. Chuck Schumer is outraged that Donald Trump said something that I've said. And he thinks it's anti-Semitism. Chuck Schumer is wrong. Let's fight. Because what we're fighting for is actual existence of all of us. Holy cow, we're still doing this? Okay, we're still doing this. I'm down. Tony Katz, that's me, by the way. 93 WIBC, good morning.
The former president's comments were utterly disgusting and a textbook example of the kind of anti-Semitism facing Jews, pushing the dangerous anti-Semitism trope of dual loyalty. To say you hate Israel or your religion because you have one political view over the other is sick, it's hateful.
I'm not listening to Chuck Schumer lecture to me, and I don't want you to let Chuck Schumer lecture to you. Chuck Schumer is wrong, and your Jewish friend Tony said so. Go on, quote me. Let me tie Chuck Schumer's madness into something in Indianapolis. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. The quote from Trump as he was talking on Sebastian Gorka's radio show. Any Jewish person that votes for Democrats hates their religion. They hate everything about Israel and they should be ashamed of themselves. The Democratic Party hates Israel. Now, do Jews who vote for Democrats hate their religion? I honestly don't know. What I have stated is that any Jew that votes for Biden is out of their minds. And I think it is irresponsible not to note how valuable Israel is if you're Jewish. It doesn't change the fact that I'm an American. This is my country. This is what I defend. I want Israel to exist. I make no bones about the fact that I'm a Zionist. Trump has done things I don't like. Of course, the meeting with Nick Fuentes and Kanye West is unforgivable. His staff didn't know. He didn't know. I don't buy into any of that. And before you try to defend Trump, do me a favor. Sit down and be quiet. I'm talking. I'm not going to listen to madness. He never should have met the guy. That's on him. That's on his staff that are a bunch of dopes. But I'm going to listen to Chuck Schumer, who called for elections in Israel. He then went to speak to these to the president of these different Jewish associations. There's a conference that takes place of all these people. And he went to talk to them yesterday to explain his position. And you know what that group of leaders said? We ain't buying it. We deeply appreciate Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer speaking to the membership of the Conference of Presidents this afternoon, as well as his longstanding support of Israel and the Jewish people. His decades of leadership are historic and without precedent. Even so, the pro-Israel community and our membership continue to have deep reservations about Senator Schumer's speech on the Senate floor last week regarding impediments to peace between Israel and the Palestinians. Because Chuck Schumer said Netanyahu's the problem, Israel's the problem, not Hamas, not Hezbollah, not Iran, not the Palestinian people that still in poll after poll after poll support this stuff. And oh, by the way, what Palestinian people? Could we at least have a history lesson for the love of God? And you think Trump's the problem? Sit down. The Democratic Party has an Israel problem. The Democratic Party has an anti-Semitism problem. This goes without saying. This reaches Indianapolis. When you've got Jew-hating bigot Andre Carson supporting people like Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, and you have communist Jesse Brown stating, read the whole thread. It's something from Governor Holcomb vetoing the anti-Semitism legislation. Read the whole thread. He's vetoing the bill for not being hostile enough to Palestine and to free speech. This while Chuck Schumer is calling into question the very legitimacy of the Netanyahu government. Holcomb is making sure his legacy is supporting genocide. First, the communist from Indianapolis, Democrat, supported by Vop Ossoli, who should damn well be ashamed of himself, is telling you that Schumer was calling the Netanyahu government into question, even though it's not a Netanyahu government right now. It's a unity government. But hey, he's a communist. All he knows is murder. Talk about a guy who knows about genocide. You think he knows about politics? He actually thinks Palestine is a place, and this has something to do with free speech, and he thinks Governor Eric Holcomb supports genocide. I think Holcomb has got a lot of issues. I don't think he supports genocide. But leave it to a communist to know about genocide. So there's another Jew hater, Israel hater, right here in Indianapolis. And the best is anytime you mention him, he's like, thank you, comrade, for supporting my campaign. As if somehow that's going to get people to stop talking. He's a Jew-hating, Israel-hating bigot. And he got aid and comfort from Chuck Schumer. And you think Donald Trump is the problem? Trump has done plenty of things that I disagree with. I've said so here, and I've talked about having no forgiveness for it. That's anti-Semitism, but what you said is fine. I got to listen to Senator Chris Coons and Representative Nancy Pelosi tell me about how you have courage. There's no courage. You called for Hamas to have opportunity to further destroy because your party is a bigoted party. Get with the program. Any Jew or any non-Jew who votes for Biden is out of their minds. Said it, meant it. Not going to apologize for it. Joe Biden won't stand up to Cori Bush, to Ayanna Pressley, to Ocasio-Cortez, to Ilhan Omar, to Rashida Tlaib, to Senator Chris Van Hollen, to Andre Carson. He's a coward. And guys like Jesse Brown want Israel destroyed. That's a bigot. And he gets supported by Vop Ossoli. Your move, President Ossoli. President of the Indianapolis City County Council. The Democratic Party absolutely hates Israel. They've shown it. They've proven it. What are we discussing here? This is something to debate? There's no debate. There's only a question of when Jews figure out that America's their country. If you're an American, you're an American. But Israel's existence has value for all of us, Jewish and non-Jewish alike.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Will not send arms to Israel. Well, there you go. That's gonna do the trick. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Dear goodness God. It is hard out here for a pimp, people. It is near impossible for people to be rational folk. It's as if they are desperate not to be. You want to support terrorist Canada? I don't know what to tell you. It's pretty gross. But then again, everything you do under Justin Trudeau is pretty gross. Closer to home, Carmel getting a win over Fishers, as is reported. Turns out that House Enrolled Act 1454, which was signed into law last year, Marion Supreme Court Judge John Chavis says is unconstitutional. Carmel stated that the law would deprive Carmel of tens of millions of dollars in local income tax. Because I think it would have diverted income tax revenue between cities, like in this case, from Carmel to Fishers. Carmel Mayor Sue Finkham said in a statement the city would have lost about $56 million in revenue to Fishers had the law remained in effect. The judge ruling that local income tax shares for the two Hamilton County cities must be allocated as they were before the diversion from Carmel to Fishers. Ah, now I get the argument. We all pay taxes, but some pay more taxes than others, and why are they getting the other ones taxed? Ah. How does this now affect the idea, you know, Indianapolis wants the donut counties to be more supportive of Indy, right? You use Indianapolis, you use our services, you always complain about our roads. How come you, why don't you put in a couple of bucks? I don't know how this applies. I'd be curious if this is maybe some level of foreboding or foreshadowing, not foreboding, foreshadowing. I'd be curious. Oh, and the communist of Indianapolis, angry with me for answering a question about Israeli politics, or I took it as Israeli politics as opposed to about to being angry like him. Super weird. But when you support Hamas, I guess this is going to be the way it is, guys. There's going to be a lot of this. There's going to be a lot of this because people haven't come to base understandings. Basics. Sometimes things are brought down here. Hamas is a terrorist organization. The only way there's peace is if they return all the hostages and surrender. Otherwise, Hamas is getting destroyed because Israel's going into Rafah, and then there's the possibility of peace. But there's no two-state solution with a group that doesn't want one. So stop being these ridiculous, weirdo, liberal freaks and stop thinking that a two-state solution is what they want. They want Israel gone. Israel says no. I'm on the side of no. You're on the side of killing. The end of the conversation. But speaking of killing, Indianapolis violence is an issue. I spoke with the new IMPD police chief, Christopher Bailey, about it. That interview coming up next. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
It's a new chief. Perhaps it's a new day in Indianapolis. Perhaps there's politics that prevent that from happening. But more importantly, there was this article that was over at WIBC.com. You know the people over there. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good to be with you. And the article was about a shooting that took place in Broad Ripple. One person was killed, multiple people injured. And the suspect was arrested. And there was a statement from the new police chief, Christopher Bailey. And here's the quote. The IMPD cannot control security protocols at individual establishments or determine what promoters are allowed to hold events. What we can do is continue to work our Broad Ripple safety plan and have conversations with business owners to help make the village as safe as it can be. We see the violence in Indianapolis. We've seen the growth over the last years. We take a look at what's to blame, who's to blame. We talk much more about what's to blame in terms of societal as opposed to other people who might just say, well, the problem is the gun and only the gun. But I thought it interesting that the new police chief would be so clear about IMPD cannot control certain things. Chief Chris Bailey joins me right now, 25-year department veteran, now the chief of police for the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department. And that quote, which I believe is accurate, is this taken to a larger extent a conversation about what IMPD's role is in Indianapolis?
Well, I believe so, and I think if you read even further into the statement that I released, you'll see that I talk about, you know, as tragic as this was, and as we try to work with businesses to do as much as we can to prevent these, the person that's ultimately responsible for what occurred is the person that decided to go in this establishment and pull the trigger. That's the person that's ultimately responsible. And so what we're trying to say is that, you know, what we've seen over the last several years is that this constant push for whether it's the mayor or the police department to solve every single bit of the violence issues just isn't going to work. government has a role to play. The police department has a role to play. The mayor's office has a role to play. But the community and the business operators and, you know, society generally also has a role to play if we're going to be a safer community and safer society.
So let's take a look at roles, because I don't necessarily disagree with the argument, but let's take a look at roles. What is the role that you believe the IMPD plays? Forgive me for a follow-up so quickly. Does how you look at the department differ from how previous chiefs looked at the department and the role they play?
Well, yeah, the role IMPD plays, especially in if you're talking specifically to our entertainment zones, is that we are, you know, accountable for what happens outside of those places. That's my view. And, you know, we work with the state excise police when it's specific to bars and other entertainment type of venues, because they have more authority over the regulations that regulate those kind of places. And so what we try to do is, one, create an environment outside of those facilities that makes it, you know, unlikely or not as comfortable for people who have the ill intentions to come to a location, whether it's on South Meridian Street or in Broderpool or wherever, to do harm to our community. And I think that, I'm carrying over some of the things that Chief Taylor implemented of being very specific in our enforcement on those small number of people, places, and behaviors that are responsible for violence, rather than casting these wide nets in neighborhoods like law enforcement has done in the past. But I'm going to be much more truly pointing the finger in certain circumstances where it needs to be pointed.
So in that situation, you're going to keep some policies, maybe make some changes. You talk about pointing fingers, talking to the IMPD police chief, Christopher Bailey. Who are you pointing fingers at, and what are you saying when you do?
We're going to point the fingers at ourselves when it's something that we could have done better. We'll own what we own. But in this particular case in Broderpool, you had an establishment who was not working with the community up there. They established some things last year, some community expectations. This establishment wasn't meeting those community expectations. They were asked to. They were asked to monitor who they used to promote events, have the proper security at the door. Those type of things didn't follow those things, to my understanding. And so in this particular case, besides the person that pulled the trigger, who's ultimately responsible, how did the person get past their security inside the establishment with a gun? And so if they had been doing what they should have been doing, then this wouldn't have occurred in the first place.
Do you find yourself wanting to point fingers? I would not ask you if you're going to point a finger at the mayor of the mayor's office, but rather I would ask the question this way: if we are going to discuss violence in Indianapolis, is everybody that you consider a player, in your view, properly playing their part?
You know, I think so. I mean, the amount of investment that the city has made over the last 4 years, mayor and the council, to try to address it, not only from a law enforcement standpoint, investing in technology that we know helps solve this case and helps solve cases every single day. But in addition to that, looking at ways to interrupt these things from happening in the first place through the Office of Public Health and Safety and the IndyPeace.org social processes to try to go at it both ways. I think there's a lot of investment from the city, and there's a lot of commitment from the city and the mayor's office and the police department. We just need more people in the community to recognize their role in this. The simple disputes do not have to end in gunfire. Those are personal decisions that people are making, that if we had a crystal ball and we could tell you that this was going to happen at this particular location because, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so are going to get into it over a parking spot out in front of their house, then I would deploy police officers to prevent that. But there's some personal responsibility here that we also have to remember in these particular incidents of violence in our city. But the mayor's office, IMPD, the council, we all have a role to play in making our city as safe as it can be.
Very often from some of these other areas that you just mentioned, we'll hear the term gun violence and the blame will go directly on the gun. I am a Second Amendment guy, a tremendous number of Second Amendment supporters and practitioners in Indianapolis and in Marion County. Is the gun to blame?
No, absolutely not. You know, I believe in the Second Amendment. I think every American should. But there is a problem with the easy access to guns from people who are prohibited from having them. There are more guns, obviously, in our country than there are people. There, and you know as well as I do, Tony, they're responsible drivers and they're irresponsible drivers. They're irresponsible gun owners and they're responsible gun owners. And sometimes the irresponsible gun owners allow their weapons to fall in the wrong hands, or they're buying them legally and giving them to people who shouldn't have them, and then they're used in a way that we don't want guns to be used. Guns are easily accessible to the youth in our community, which every law, state and federal, prohibits. And so we have to look at that. We have to look at how these guns are getting into the hands of our youth and who we can hold accountable for that if there's a nefarious mean there, right, under the law, right? So obviously a person pulls the trigger. The gun is an object. But guns are easily accessible and they're used far too often to settle simple disputes in our community from people who don't know how to deal with their conflict.
The chief of police in Indianapolis, Christopher Bailey, I appreciate you taking the time with us. I would like to do this more often if you're available, and you can feel free to spread the word that it's not scary to do an interview with Tony Katz, and maybe more people should try it.
Well, obviously I'm not scared. You are an intimidating guy. You're a smart guy. So I could see why some people be bothered by that, but are scared of that, but I'm happy to show up and talk anytime that I'm able to, because my role as the police chief is not one party or another party or one community or another community. It's to serve the entire citizens of Indianapolis and residents and visitors, and I will talk to whomever I need to talk to work together to make our city safe.
Chief Christopher Bailey of the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department, I appreciate you taking the time. I got to tell you, I don't think I'm intimidating. I appreciate the smart comment. I hope it leads to other people being willing to do interviews. I did ask him if we could chat monthly, hear what's going on. He was amenable to it. Maybe we have found somebody willing to have a conversation. Hopefully it's the first of many. My thanks to Chief Bailey, Chief of the IMPD.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
How bad is it?
Don't sugarcoat it. Give it to me straight.
Want coffee?
I think I need some coffee.
Time to fill up on the news. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. Dow futures down 51. NASDAQ futures up 30. I'm actually surprised there's even that much movement, because the Fed is going to make statement today about rates. Not expecting any rate increase at all. Not a single one. I'd be hard pressed to think anybody is. The inflation's up. Inflation is up. So how does the U.S. think that we're going to cut rates? Bank of England is going to hold rates, but they see inflation falling. Now their inflation rate is higher than our inflation rate. So what they may do to spur things along a little different than us, we have to focus on us. But I don't see where a rate cut is. I do dig the argument that there will be a rate cut in 2024 as a sign of hope. Right? This idea of, we got to make everybody feel kind of good. We'll do a quarter point drop sometime in the summer, and I'll be like, okay. You mean you'll do a drop right before the election to make Biden look good? I haven't been hypercritical on the political of Jerome Powell and all the conversations that we've had, Chairman of the Federal Reserve. I haven't had a need to. But let's not make the assumption that a move to help an election is not out of the realm of possibility, because that would be, that would be nuts. Meanwhile, Bitcoin, which was over 70,000, hit 60,000. Now it's 64,000. Full disclosure, I own not enough Bitcoin to count. Fractional amounts. If I owned a full coin, I would tell you. Because if I'm talking about the things, I should say the things. I don't. That said, crypto has had a lot of places a pretty good run over the last month or so. I think it's interesting though that you can have a coin that this investment, however people want to put it. It shed, this is a great headline from CNBC, $400 billion worth of value. And everyone's like, huh? Like, that's it? I find that absolutely fascinating. Fascinating that there's just, it doesn't move anything. It doesn't change anything. What changes things, I think, is credit scores. As we were discussing it earlier, credit scores are down. Credit card debt at $1.13 trillion last quarter, and credit scores are down because people are utilizing more of their credit cards to pay for the everyday things because of this economy. How is this not leading us to disaster, to an implosion this year? It's going to take another year? I don't know, man. These numbers bother me every day. Tony Katz at 93 WIBC. Good morning. Traffic on the fives. Matt Bear, what are you doing?
South Zion crash westbound 465. It's between 31 and Harding, right around South Meridian Street. And the left lane is closed by several vehicles that wrecked. And traffic is jammed right now past US 31. Delay time is just 6 minutes at the moment, but that could increase as we go here. Northbound 65, slow out in the north split to Meridian Penn, and inbound 69 still stop and go from an earlier stall. It's gone, but we're slow from 116th Street down to 82nd. Traffic sponsored by Drexel Interiors. Go where the pros go. Drexel Interiors for Timberlake Kitchen and Bath Cabinets. Visit Drexel's design centers at 146th Street and River Road, or on North Shadeland, online at drexelin.com. I'm Matt Bear with Traffic on the Fives. Follow us at WIBC Traffic.
We've got 40 degrees in the American Standard Heating Weather Center. The time is 8:40. Wait for it, 6. I'm getting this right now. When did this song come out?
Early 2000s.
Matt Bear, what years were you dancing to this song in your bedroom alone?
2018 through 2021.
That sounds about right. Mm. This wasn't your COVID jam?
No.
I was pretty sure. This was your COVID jam. Turn it up. We need more boy bands on this show. Wait a second. No, we don't. Baby, bye, bye, bye. Bye, bye. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. I don't remember when the song came out. I don't remember when the song left. I do remember that there was a short amount of time that this is all you were allowed to hear according to law. It was like Ingsoc, and it was 1984, and you'd walk out, and instead of, that face just talking to you, all you'd hear is bye, bye, bye. And I didn't even know it's going to be May until I moved here. Right? The whole Justin Timberlake thing that we do for the month of May, which, can we discuss, is coming up? What has happened? Normally, I am not like this. I don't think time is moving quickly. People are like, oh my gosh, the kids, they grow up so fast. Oh my gosh, this... It's March. I have never, ever felt this way. I have no idea Well, I shouldn't say I don't know what happened. I was there. I know what happened. January and February moved awfully quick. They did. I mean, this is nutty. And May is around the corner. Around the corner. But yeah, I don't remember that when that song came out. All I remember is that there was a while there that you had to listen. You had to listen or you were going to die. On Tony Katz Today at noon, we do another show. It's called Tony Katz Today, and it is fantastic. We'll dig in more to the Texas story about how the Supreme Court said Texas can actually deport people who are in the country illegally. And the case got sent back to the Fifth Circuit, But the Fifth Circuit then ruled hours later, no, they can't. Well, who is the Fifth Circuit? Who in the world is the Fifth Circuit to say that the Supreme Court can't say this? So it gets brought back. They're like, well, we need to look at this to figure out what we're going to do. And you ask, well, what right does Texas have to deport anybody? It's a state. Immigration is a federal conversation. Texas is saying they have the right to protect and defend their citizens. And if people are there illegally, they can send them back. Mexico's like, we won't take them. Who the hell is Mexico to decide what they're taking and what they're not taking? Can we be honest about the fact that they are not a friend? They're not a friend. We should be very, very clear about this. Not our friend at all. When you say, we can't send people back, why do you let people into the country? Why do you allow them to flow through the whole of Mexico? So we're going to get into this story. There's also a possible uprising once again in Cuba. We will take a look at that. Primary results from last night. Who is going to be running in these very important Senate races across the country? And, of course, the Federal Reserve. They may cut rates. I'm going to say no on that. And then there is there's this right here. This was a post from Rusty Weiss. I don't know Rusty. We follow each. He follows me. All right, I'm going to follow him back. I don't think I know. Do I know Rusty? I don't know if I know the dude. Maybe I do. Anyway, he put out a fascinating post on X. And very often you see this, these people who do the side-by-sides, right? Here's what I used to say and here's what I say now. Right? It's like for the former labor secretary under Bill Clinton, Robert Reich. You have to get vaccinated in order to save humanity. And then right next to it is a post that says, you can't tell a woman what to do with her own body. And you're like, wait a second. You said both those things and I'm not supposed to notice? It's one of those. A Defiant L's. Right, Carl? Producer Carl? Is that Defiant L's does that all the time?
Yes.
Yeah, meaning people who are losers. But this was interesting. He's pointing out the New York Times. And one New York Times headline that shows a picture of Trump that states, what happens when you fight a deep state that doesn't exist? And he has that next to a screenshot from a video from the New York Times that reads, it turns out the deep state is actually kind of awesome. Well, do they exist or don't they? Does the deep state exist or not? Answer the damn question. You told everybody for years there is no deep state. This is a myth. This is a lie. This is this. And now you're like, oh, yeah, it's there. It's totally cool. Well, of course the deep state exists. What's your problem with it? I love when people get caught in a lie, caught in their nonsense denials, and they just turn into, yeah, of course, what's new here? There's nothing new here. Oh, you and your culture wars. And that's usually what they sound like. That impression is spot on. I think that's incredible. I think it's a really interesting story. I want to break that down a little bit more. I will do that on Tony Katz today at noon. Follow me on X at Tony Katz, and you'll see where the commies are super angry and also super terrible. It's every day now. It's every day that I get the post that says, "Don't worry, Hitler's coming back for you." That did happen. That was yesterday's. Social media. Thank goodness it's not actually real.